So on today's superhero series, we're going to look at a guy named Dr. Fate. Dr. Fate is a superhero that I wasn't very aware of until the game Injustice 2 came out. And he looks cool. He does a lot of tricks. But I didn't know a lot about him. And this was one of the challenges of one of my volunteers in our youth group. He special requested Dr. Fate, and so just going to look at him a little bit. Dr. Fate was found by a guy named Kent Nelson, who's the son of a guy named Sven Nelson. Kent opened a sarcophagus with a guy named Naboo the Wise, and he held him in this stasis for a millennia. And when Kent Nelson came out of it, he realized that when he opened the sarcophagus, poisonous fumes came out and killed his dad, Sven. But ultimately, Naboo the Wise, who is in the sarcophagus, trains Kent Nelson in the art of sorcery, and Kent Nelson ends up becoming a very powerful sorcerer. And then through it, he gives him three artifacts, the Helmet of Fate, the Amulet of Anubis, and the Cloak of Destiny, and each one having its own power but amplifying the powers of the wearer as well. And so ultimately, Dr. Fate is part of a group called the Lords of Order, or whenever he puts his helmet on, Naboo the Wise, who is a god, and is part of the Lords of Order, they kind of are in charge of Dr. Fate. But the thing is, when it comes to Dr. Fate, is he's extremely powerful. Even without the helmet, without the cape, without the amulet, Kent Nelson is an extremely powerful guy, a superhero. And then ultimately, with all that stuff on, he rivals the most powerful superheroes in the DC Universe, as well as the Marvel Universe. The thing is about Dr. Fate, though, that I find really interesting is by putting on the helmet, you take the chance of Naboo the Wise to possess you. He has the opportunity to, at that point, take over your body. And you are still there, but you are acting under Naboo's influence completely. And I found that really interesting because I feel like in our lives we do this with sin. Our thing, like the thing for me right now, is food. So turn of the year, I decided to start a diet and working out and everything, and I'm gonna stick with it. New Year's resolution. But what ended up happening is yesterday I had to go to the grocery store. Now, what I do on my diet is I have two shakes of supplement meals, and then I have one meal of on my own that's a healthy meal. So what that means is I'm hungry. I'm really hungry a lot. And the thing is, you don't even realize how much you snack until you get on certain, you start doing this stuff. So I go to the grocery store, and I have a list of things that my wife asked me to get. So I like to get something special for her sometimes when I go to the grocery store, as well as my kids. So I'm looking around, and I'm seeing every single thing that I can't eat first. So right when I get to the bread, all I see is the Danishes, the Little Debbie snacks, like the Krispy Kreme donuts are sitting there, and my stomach starts growling. Then, as I'm walking, my nemesis of food / candy shows up, the Reese's Hearts. Now, I don't know about you, but around this time, you get the Christmas trees, right? You get, well, even it goes all the way to Halloween, where you, it's either the bats or the pumpkins. I don't know what it is, but it's chocolate with peanut butter, and it's Reese's, and it goes all the way through Easter. Like the second that they pulled those Christmas trees, those Reese's trees off the shelves, they put the like Valentine Reese's hearts up. And then when they take those down, it will be the Reese's eggs, which is a horrible temptation for me. And what's funny is those, praise God, I didn't buy it. I didn't eat it. I got good stuff. I just kept walking. But what I think happens in our lives is we have certain things like that for us that are go-tos and that are sins that are very, like, they are controlling us. They are things that hold on to us and they don't let go. Like, so Galatians 6:8 warns us on this. It says, "For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption." This is someone who's controlled completely by their flesh. This is someone who sees something that they want and they get it. Or they see something they want to do and they do it. Regardless of the consequences, they see, they have the temptation, and they just do it. And sin is appealing. And so the temptations are all over the place. So, like, for me, whenever it came to eating, like, food's an addiction for me. And so it was something that, like, I could become very gluttonous over the food and stuff like that. But then it goes on and says, "But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." And so there's two people here that you see. You see one that is controlled by his flesh and one that is controlled by the Spirit. The one that is leaning on Jesus, God, for eternal life, for security and a foundation and walking this life. And so this is our dilemma. And so my question is, which one are you? Like, I know that we could, if I sat down with you and I talked about just simple sins, I couldn't list them all, and I wouldn't want you walking away thinking you're okay, because we all have something that we're trying to work through with God. And so my first question is, who is in control of who? Are you in control of your sin, or is the sin in control of you? What sin or sins have you under their control? What things are appealing to you so much that you can't help but go to them? These are things that we have to ask ourselves. And so once we diagnose this, the next thing we have to do is start controlling our flesh. So if the Bible says that Jesus himself says, be perfect as I am perfect. So that means that we have an element of acting ourselves that we need to start, controlling our own flesh. And so how do we overcome? Well, the Bible talks about, Jesus gives us an example of this in Matthew 4. The first thing I want to say is fasting. Fasting is something that I think a lot of Christians in the Western culture, they overlook. They don't do. I don't think that students are often, like kids, high schoolers are often taught to fast unless it's for sport. And fasting is a huge part of the Christian walk. It's a spiritual discipline. And the reason why it's huge is because it practices putting your flesh under control in multiple ways. So it's not just the act of eating or not eating that is helping, but the fact that when you are hungry, you have the choice to complain, you have the choice to be angry, you know, that's where the term hangry comes from, and all of these temptations are coming at us, things that will satisfy our need. Because we are angry, we are uncomfortable, we're not the way we would be if we weren't hungry, you know? And so we look at Matthew 4 and it says, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry." So now Jesus is showing us the side of fasting. So he's fasting, he's putting his flesh under control, but it's not just the hunger, okay? So he's hungry now. And it says, and the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. And so, but Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So we see him being tempted by his hunger. And the way he thwarts it is the word of God. And then it says in verse 5, then the devil took him to the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you. And so what we see here is he's now tempted by the authority of, like, by pushing the authority of God and the power of God. So, and it's almost like Satan's putting doubts in his mind of who he serves. And so he says, and then he goes on, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, again, it is written, you shall not put your Lord God, the Lord your God, to the test. And then finally, and the devil took him to the very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these I will give to you, if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. What I love about this story is we see that he fasted and he wasn't tempted by just hunger. He was tempted by more things than hunger. It was so where when you fast, it's one like Satan's going to attack. Demons are going to attack. Yourself, your own flesh is going to attack. And you have a choice. Are you going to discipline yourself to not be controlled by your flesh? Or are you going to give in to the temptation and sin? I'm not saying that eating is sinful. I will say eating in excess is sinful. That's gluttonous. I will say that when you're hungry and you lash out at your loved ones because of your hunger, that's sinful. I will say that if you are hungry and you're complaining the entire time that you're fasting, that's sinful. As the Bible says, do all things without complaining or grumbling. So if that's the deal, then we need to start practicing these things and overcoming our flesh to become more like Christ. And so how are you doing in your sin? Is your sin controlling you, or are you controlling your sin and your flesh? I will say that instead, because we need to be ones that overcome our sin, because Jesus defeated it. Jesus defeated sin. Where the Bible says that we're no longer bound to sin under the law, but under the law of grace now. So it has no power over us. And so therefore, through Jesus Christ, we have the ability, because it's all him, we have the ability to overcome our sin. So how are you doing? Where are you at? And are you choosing to be possessed by your sin, or are you overcoming your flesh?